prayer.
Eternal, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we count it a great privilege to be here in thine house, to have thy word before us. We just pray, Lord, that the busyness of life would be set aside for this moment, and that we would be focused upon thy word, and that we would allow thy good and thy Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, to work in our minds, as we consider that which is eternal. So we look to thee, and we ask thy favor and thy blessings upon us, one and all, as we pray this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this afternoon, let's turn to Samuel, the first book of Samuel, chapter number 7. That's page 335 in the Pew Bible. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together in Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and all the children of Israel heard. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord, and Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, and pursued the Philistines, and smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone, and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and let us. We pick up the reading here this afternoon at a time in the history of Israel where Samuel, the last of the judges, is interacting with the children of Israel, and it has yet been the time where he anointed Saul to be king of the land, and they were in a difficult place because they had turned to idolatry. And because they had turned to idolatry, the enemy, the Philistines, were continually defeating them. And it wasn't long ago that we read in chapter 5 and how it was that the Philistines had taken the ark down to their cities, and the Philistines had defeated clearly the children of Israel. But it came to pass that shortly afterwards that the Philistines were having trouble with the ark because God was cursing them, and because they had it in their possession and it didn't belong in their possession, and they gave it back to the children of Israel. And one of the cities that received it took care of it, but the Bible says that they looked into the ark, and so the Lord smote them, 50,000 and 70 men the Lord had smitten because they had looked into the ark. And so this city sent it then off to Kirjath-Jearim, and they took the ark, and they brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark. And so it was the responsibility then of Eleazar to ensure that the ark of the covenant of God was kept secure, was kept in its proper place, was properly reverenced, and was kept as God would have it to be kept. And that it happened to be, the ark then happened to stay in this place for quite some time, and it was 20 years. And all this time, the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. They were being defeated. They weren't having victories. They didn't have joy in their lands. And Samuel, the judge, tells them, well, here's the problem, and here's what you need to do. He says to them, if ye do return unto the Lord with all of your hearts, then put away the strange gods in Ashtaroth. If you want joy in your heart, if you want to return to the Lord, put away those strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you and prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Make that preparation. Make that decision to serve the Lord and bring a heart that is prepared to serve the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. He will deliver you. Samuel made that very clear to the children of Israel. God will deliver you, but serve him only. Put away those idols from among you. Don't serve those idols anymore. And this lamenting that you're having and you've endured for these 20 years, it'll all go away and the Lord will deliver you. And so we see the story here of a deliverance that's made. And then not only that a deliverance is made and that there was a divine helper, God, who helped them, but then there was also remembrance of them, of that help that was given unto them. And so verse number 12 that we read says, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto the Lord hath helped us. They wanted help. They cried for help. Samuel helped them with their lamenting that they had. And then when the Lord helped them, the divine helper was there for them, then they set up a memorial to remember that the Lord had helped them. So there was this complete process from the time of lamenting, from the time of being delivered, to the time of always remembering that the Lord had delivered them. And so there was this time that Samuel took that stone and he set it in this area between two cities, Mizpah and Shen, and he called the name of it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help, so that they would always pass by that place and remember, yes, the Lord had helped us against our enemies, the Philistines, who were soundly defeating us for decades. And they made that proclamation, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And so as we consider this scripture this afternoon, let's remember who our divine helper is, who the divine helper of the widow is, who the divine helper is of every believer, and then to have that in our minds that we would always remember and never forget how the Lord had helped us and how the Lord has blessed us. So Samuel tells the people of Israel, the house of Israel, return to the Lord with all your hearts, put away the strange gods, put away Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only with all of your heart, and he will deliver you. He will deliver you. There's a promise. This judge, who was in tune with God, is telling the children of Israel, he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So then, praise God that the children of Israel made these decisions. The children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. So there was this action that Samuel was taking as a priest, that he would intercede for the children of Israel. So as they would gather together in Mizpah, he would then pray for them. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord as a means of sacrifice. And they fasted on that day, and then they made confession, and they said, we have sinned against the Lord. We have sinned against the Lord. They made that confession. They recognized that, yeah, we turned to Ashtaroth. We turned to strange gods. We did things that God told us not to do. We know that God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to us, and there was that one commandment there that Moses said that we shall not have any other gods before the Almighty God. And we sinned against that. They were making confession. They were making confession of their sin. And for us to be right with God, before we can have him in our hearts, we need to make confession that we have sinned against the Lord too. That we have done that which was evil. That we had turned against him in rebellion. But now we're turning to him in repentance. And so Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And the children of Israel heard it, and they were afraid of the Philistines. So the Philistines were thinking, wait, this is a great opportunity for us. Our enemy, who we've been dominating over for these 20 years, they're now in all in one location, so it's really easy for us to just go in and conquer them and have a great battle and destroy many of them because they're all concentrated together. They're not spread out over the land. And so the Philistines decide that they were going to come up against the children of Israel. But as we consider this, we can just look in the background and think, God was orchestrating this all along. God was orchestrating every step along the way. And so the children of Israel said unto Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, and he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel were coming to this faith that God is able to help us. He is able to be our divine deliverer. He is able to be our divine helper. And so they had this faith, and they were crying to Samuel, don't stop praying unto the Lord our God for us. Again, they were in a time of when there were priests, and the priest would intercede between the children of Israel and the Lord God. But Jesus, being our high priest, now we can come directly before the throne of God. We can come to him in prayer boldly, as the Bible says, and we know that God will hear us. And we don't have to come to a high priest who will then take our prayers and then deliver them to the Lord. We can come directly to the Lord now, but in this time they didn't. And so they were crying out to Samuel, help us, don't stop praying to the Lord, and we have faith and we have confidence that he will deliver, or he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And so Samuel takes a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. The Lord saw that the children of Israel had repentant hearts, that they were sorry for their sin. They confessed their sin, and they're serving the Lord now wholly with all of their hearts. And so the Lord heard Samuel's prayer then. And it says, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But, and here's how the beauty of the workings of the Lord, that God brought all the children of Israel together in Mizpah, and then he puts into the minds of the Philistines that they'll come and battle against Israel, because it'll be easy to when they're all concentrated here. And they're all these Palestinians are Philistines are coming up against the children of Israel, and it just says simply that but the Lord, he thundered with a great thunder. That's all that God had to do. He just thundered with a great thunder. This is our God, who can do all things, who knows all things, who knows the intents and the thoughts of the heart. He knows all these things. He knows what the Philistines wanted to do. And so the Lord just thunders with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. He defeated them just simply by thundering that great thunder. And they were smitten before Israel. And when the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them, they did smite them until they came near unto Bethcar. So we can see again that the Lord was gracious to the children of Israel. The Lord desired that the children of Israel would repent, would turn away from their idolatry, would recognize that they don't have to lament anymore. They don't have to lament. They don't have to be in sorrow and to think of life as in despair. They could have the joy of the Lord. They could know that the Lord God, and they can receive his blessings. And they did so. And so they came to this point where the Lord did a great miracle in their presence, by simply thundering with a great thunder. This is our God. He thundered with a great thunder, put fear into the hearts of the Philistines, and they went running back to their cities of Ekron and Gath. And as they're running back to their cities, God allows the children of Israel to pursue them and to smite the Philistines. And then it's at this time that, as we read here in chapter or verse number 12, then Samuel took a stone. He took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." I'm sure Samuel, in his own way, was waiting for the children of Israel all these years, 20 years. Come back, children of Israel. Come serve the Lord. Come back. Come back and give your hearts fully unto the Lord. And as now Samuel is acting as this intercessor between God and the children of Israel, and he sees what God has done for the children of Israel, he erects this stone. A stone that's named Ebenezer, which means a stone of help. And that they would not forget, God has helped us here. God has helped us here. And so it was that as time went on, perhaps the children of Israel went back into idolatry. Perhaps there were those that went away. But they could always come back and remember, the Lord helped us. The Lord helped the children of Israel. The Lord helped our forefathers here. And when Saul became king, he was fighting against the Philistines likewise. But there was this remembrance that was always made that the Lord had helped the children of Israel when the children of Israel turned to the Lord with all of their hearts. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. So the Philistines, when they were dominant and they were in control of the cities that were closer to Israel, at this time now it switched back. Now the Israelites had control of those cities that were near to the coast of the Philistines. And Ekron, even from Ekron unto Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace among Israel and the Amorites. So the Bible here speaks of these things that the Lord has done, and of his goodness, and of his faithfulness, and of his desire to bless those who would turn their hearts and their minds unto the Lord, and to recognize that our God is a divine helper. He can do all things. And then when he helps us, let's not be so soon to forget the help that the Lord has given unto us. There are verses that speak to the Lord being our helper. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not thou, for I am with thee. I be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." This is God's work. The children of Israel, in their defeated state, were vulnerable, just as the widow is that we heard about this morning. They were in a vulnerable state. But God says, don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is what God can do. He can uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. And there is nothing that we need to do on our part. There is nothing that the children of Israel did here while they were in Mizpah. To use the phrase, they were sitting ducks. The Philistines, who were dominant over them, were coming to them, and they would be soundly defeated. There was nothing that they had of themselves to defeat the Philistines. He who is their divine helper says, "Fear not, be not dismayed. I am the Lord thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." God did it all. God did it all. There wasn't anything that the children of Israel did when the Philistines came up against them in Mizpah. God did it all. He thundered, a great thunder, put fear in their hearts, and scattered them. And when they were then on the run, then the children of Israel were able to pursue them and smite them. But God did it all. Hebrews 13 says that don't have covetousness in your heart, and be content with such things as the Lord has given you, so that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We don't need to fear what man can do unto us. We don't need to fear that. The Lord is our helper. He who is righteous and upholds us in his right hand will protect us. He will be our divine helper. He will deliver us. Even as the children of Israel were told by Samuel, return to the Lord. Put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth. Put away those things from you. Serve the Lord with all of your heart. And he will deliver you. And he will deliver you. Likewise for us, put away sin from our lives. Put it away. Put selfishness, pride, all that, anything that's in our hearts that is above God, put it all away. Put it all away and serve God. And you don't need to lament anymore. But have the joy of the Lord in your heart. Because he is our divine helper. And he will provide for us. The children of Israel were put into temptations often. And they had difficulty round about them quite often. And most of it was because of their idolatry. But in the New Testament we read, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able to be tempted, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." God will provide. Even when Satan comes against us really strongly, and we think, "Oh, this is my weakness, and he's tormenting me with this temptation," God makes a way of escape. God makes a way of escape. The word says so here. And then ours is to be looking for that way of escape, that we would be able to bear those temptations that come our way. Speaking of God being our divine deliverer, in 2 Corinthians we also read, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust he will yet deliver us." I so much appreciate this verse because it speaks of the past, the present, and the future of what God will do for us. He will deliver us. He will deliver us. He delivered us from so great a death, in past tense, and doth deliver. He's delivering us now, even in the present state, and in whom we trust he will yet deliver us. We know that he will deliver us in the times to come. The children of Israel, we're living in fear. The Philistines are dominating us. Anytime they want to come to our cities, they come and they destroy us. They were living in fear. But when they turned to the Lord delivered them. When they turned to the Lord delivered them. When we turn to the Lord will deliver us. He delivered us from so great a death. He's delivering us now, and whatever the future holds, we have a divine deliverer that will deliver us even in that time. Ours is not to fear, but to trust in him. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. The New Testament also speaks in 2 Timothy chapter 4, saying, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work," this is the Apostle Paul speaking, "and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." God will deliver us, and he will keep us and preserve us unto that everlasting kingdom. Men may destroy the body, but they cannot destroy the soul. Men can give other men a hard time, a difficulty, but our souls will be preserved. The Lord will deliver us from death. The Lord will take us and to be with him in his heavenly kingdom forever and forever, and so then to him be glory forever and ever. Peter also in his epistles speaks of the Lord's deliverance for us as well. "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished." The Lord knows how to deliver those who are godly out of temptation. When a widow comes before an unjust judge and makes a plea, and then makes another plea and another plea, even an unjust judge will avenge her of her adversary. And how much more shall God give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? How much more will God help those who come before him and plead for his deliverance, to plead for strength, to plead for the Holy Spirit to be active and alive and to be yielded to the Holy Spirit? He will provide and he will deliver us. He will deliver us out of those temptations. So whatever it is that we may be facing currently now, or that we might have a little bit of trepidation about what may come in the future, let's commit that to the Lord. Let's commit that to the Lord. The Lord's got that handled. God knows how to take care of that. And we just commit our lives to him. And we serve him. And we do his will. And we yield ourselves to him. And we serve him with all of our heart, as Samuel told the children of Israel to do. Serve him with all of your heart. Turn to him. And when they did, they had peace in their hearts. And there was great joy in their lands. No more did they have to lament. And then again, When we see these things happen in our lives, that the Lord delivered me here, or the Lord clearly helped us in this situation, or the Lord clearly helped them in that situation. When we are when we can see that the Lord was working, whether in our lives or collectively or someone else's lives, let's give God the glory. Let's acknowledge that was the Lord's working. He did these things. He's a divine helper. He's a divine deliverer. The Lord did these things. And then let's not so soon forget. Let's place Ebenezers in our lives that we would refer back to and say, yes, this is the time when the Lord helped us. I will not forget it. I won't let it slip my mind. I won't go on and carry on my life as if that never even happened and just go about my way. No, but to remember, the Lord helped us. Set up that Ebenezer in your life that you would remember. Remember what the Lord has done for you. We had the opportunity to remember the Lord's broken body and his shed blood for us. That great cost that we would be delivered from so great a death. That's a remembrance. That's an Ebenezer, that we would remember that in our lives. That we were sinners. There was condemnation against us. There was a certain judgment against us. But Jesus took our place. Let's remember these things. The woman that was caught in adultery, in the very act, in the end of that story, Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Do you think that she ever forgot? Do you ever think that she ever forgot that she was forgiven? In the next chapter, we read of a man that was born blind. When, at the end of that story, when the blind man says, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Jesus says, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he worshipped him. The blind man worshipped Jesus. Do you think the blind man ever forgot who Jesus was? They were delivered. These are examples of where they were delivered. The Lord had delivered them. Have they ever forgotten? We were delivered from so great a death. Shall we forget? Shall we forget the great price that was paid for us? For our souls to be saved? Shall we forget that? Let's remember that. And always remember that. Set up Ebenezers in our lives. Whether physically or in our minds or something that we would always remember. The Lord delivered me from so great a death. I will never forget. May God grant us grace to do his will, to live for him, to recognize his great ability to deliver us, and then never forget. Amen.